From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Indonesian pharmaceutical company Bio Farma has been authorized by the National Agency of Drugs and Food Control, BPOM, to produce 100 million doses of China-based Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir said during his visit to Bio Farma in Bandung on Thursday that Bio Farma is awaiting bulk vaccine to arrive in Indonesia and the Chinese company is expected to make its shipment soon. As reported by Antara, Bio Farma is now capable of producing up to 250 million doses of vaccine. But for the production for the other 150 million doses, it will have to obtain another BPOM certification. Thohir also emphasized that Bio Farma is currently still managing coordination with the Indonesian Ulama Council on the vaccine halal status. The Indonesian government is preparing to renegotiate a 35,000 megawatt or 35 gigawatt power plant project which has been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The government remains committed to implementing the mega project for which contracts have been signed, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Arifin Tasrif said on Thursday. Arifin, demand for electrical power fell during the pandemic. The low demand for power also had an impact on the electricity sales of state-owned electricity firm PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara or PLN. He expressed a hope that demand for electrical power will recover this year. To push power demand, the government will adopt a number of strategies, including encouraging the use of battery-based electrical motor vehicle, both four-wheeled and two-wheeled, and the use of electrical stoves. Coordinating Economic Affairs Minister Erlangga Hartarto remained sanguine about Indonesia clocking a 5% economic growth despite large-scale social restriction being imposed in Jakarta and 23 districts and cities in 6 provinces in January 11 to 25th. Hartarto stated at a virtual press conference on Thursday that they are optimistic and the economic growth is projected at 5% by the end of the year. Among the indicators of the country's economic growth is the Jakarta Composite Index IHSG that rose to 6,128 points after declining during Wednesday opening session. Indonesia's Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, increased and reached 51.3 points, while the price of some commodities such as crude palm oil, coal, and nickel raised the highest level. The government has planned to start COVID-19 vaccine in mid-January of 2021 to regain public confidence in the pandemic. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi and South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Park Tae-sung discussed more opportunities for further cooperation in the transportation sector at a meeting held on Thursday. The two discussed plans for entering into a partnership for building an integrated transportation system in Indonesia, planned new capital in East Kalimantan Province, as well as some ongoing investment projects in West Java, Riau Island, and Bali. At the meeting, the South Korean ambassador expressed interest in some projects, including building a railway system in Bali, developing the Hang Nadim Airport in Batam, Riau Island, and investing in the Bekasi Proving Ground facilities in West Java. As reported by Antara, the Indonesian minister welcomed South Korea's interest and said he expected the two countries to use more public-private partnership scheme for funding the projects. Let's move on to the international news. The top two Democrats in Congress on Thursday called for President Donald Trump's removal from office one day after his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol in a harrowing assault on American democracy. With 13 days left in Trump's term, House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer both said Vice President Mike Pence and the cabinet should invoke the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution to remove him from power before then. Absent that, they said Congress should move quickly to expel him through the impeachment process. Members of Trump's cabinet and allies of the Republican president have discussed invoking the 25th Amendment, which allows them to remove a president who is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Congress formally certified Democratic President-elect Joe Biden's election victory early on Thursday, hours after they were forced into hiding by hundreds of rioters who overwhelmed police and invaded the building. Toxic air in India and other South Asian countries could be causing large numbers of miscarriage and stillbirth, scientists said on Thursday. A study in the Lancet Medical Journal estimated nearly 350,000 pregnancy losses a year in South Asia were linked to high pollution levels, accounting for 7% of annual pregnancy loss in the region between 2000 and 2016. South Asia has the highest rate of pregnancy loss globally and some of the worst air pollution in the world, lead author Tao Su of Peking University said in a statement that the findings provide further justification for urgent action to tackle dangerous levels of pollution. The analysis found pollution led to the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, respiratory infection, lung cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, neonatal disorders, and cataracts. In Thursday's study, the Chinese research team looked at data for 34,197 mothers in South Asia who had at least one miscarriage or stillbirth and one or more live birth. Arab states boycotting Qatar could resume travel and trade links with Doha within a week under a U.S.-backed deal. But restoring diplomatic ties requires more time as parties work to rebuild trust. Gulf powerhouse Saudi Arabia announced a breakthrough in ending a bitter dispute at a summit on Tuesday, with its foreign minister saying Riyadh and its allies would restore all ties with Doha severed in mid-2017. United Arab Emirates Minister of State for Foreign Affairs Anwar Gargash told a virtual news conference that measures to be implemented within a week of the agreement include practical measures of airlines, shipping and trade. Qatar Airways on Thursday said it would begin rerouting some of its flights through Saudi airspace. However, he said other issues, such as restoring full diplomatic relations, would take time, given geopolitical issues such as Iran, Turkey and political Islamist groups regarded autocrats as an existential threat. That was the news. Several countries have started vaccinating their citizens in order to tackle the COVID-19 pandemic, which is still sweeping the world. Israel is among the first countries to administer the COVID-19 vaccination. Until now, approximately 1 million people have been vaccinated. Followed by Bahrain and Britain, although the numbers are not significant. Meanwhile, several other countries are still preparing or just starting the vaccination process. The Netherlands, for example, just started vaccination on January 6, 2021. Indonesia is planning to take it in the middle of January 2021. What various countries are pursuing is that vaccination reaches a minimum of 70% of the population or until herd immunity is achieved. Israel hopes to achieve herd immunity in February 2021. In contrast to Britain, which was forced to carry out a lockdown again because the number of people exposed to the virus in this country continues to increase. As of January 4th, there were nearly 22,000 patients hospitalized for COVID-19 cases in the UK. This is a 30% increase in the week. Thought to be due to a surge in infection from the new variant that is spreading faster. Concerns about the spread of COVID-19 virus and its new variants have even spread to other countries. Many have questions. Will herd immunity be achieved immediately after vaccination? Epidemiologist from Griffith University's Global Health Security, Diki Budiman, said that although currently there is a vaccine, it is necessary to know the effect of the vaccine is not yet fully known. So, that the vaccine cannot be the answer to the competition of the COVID-19 case. A new normal lifestyle that follows the health protocol is still needed. Synergistic efforts are necessary for the vaccine to be effective. The number of COVID-19 transmission must at least be controlled first. The public perception of COVID-19 as a dangerous virus must also be reconciled first. That way, countries should not only focus on the distribution of vaccine to various places. Other efforts must be made in line with the vaccination program, including good public communication, so that the people maintain health protocols even though vaccination have been carried out. That was commentary.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 8, 1912, when the African National Congress was established. The African National Congress, or ANC, is a center-left political party in South Africa. This party ruled in South Africa since it gained majority power in May 1994. It was established on January 8, 1912 in Bloemfontein to protect the rights of South African colored people. Some of its founders are Albert Luthuli, the winner of Nobel Prize awards, poet and author Saul Plach, and John Dube. Until 1923, this party was named South African Native National Congress. ANC is the only one party which has governed South Africa since 1994. The support reduced a bit in the general elections in 1999, but they regained more vote in the following 2004 elections. Moving on to an event on January 8, 1996 about hostaging in Mapenduma. On January 8, 1996 in Mapenduma, Jayawijaya, 26 members of Lawrence 95 expedition team were held captive by the military wing of Free Papua Movement, or OPM, which was led by Kelly Kwalik. The hostage also raised the name of Qualiq to the international world because the members of Lawrence 95 expedition were international citizens too. The hostaging left two hostages dead following the Mika shooting incident in 1996, which left 16 people dead. The event ended after 130 days in Mapenduma hostage liberation operation by the Army Special Forces or Kopassus led by Prabowo Subianto on May 9, 1996. We end the program with an event on January 8, 2003, when Turkish Airlines Flight 634 crashed. Turkish Airlines Flight 634 is a domestic airplane which was scheduled to fly from Istanbul Atatürk Airport to Diyarbakir Airport, the southeastern part of Turkey. On January 8, 2003, at 18:19 UTC, the airplane hit a slope due to bad weather. It broke into three parts, leaving 75 out of 80 passengers and cabin crews, including two pilots, dead. Based on the investigation, thick fog caused the pilots could not see clearly, and it made the accident happen. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Ku langkahkan kakiku tak berharap temukan cintamu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda waktu pertama ku melihatmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang kaku, akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, eh, eh.
Kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu.
Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang
senyum.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Rahmawati presenting you My Indonesia entitled Indonesia Sees Increasing Investment in Early 2021 as Economy Awakens. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the national economic activities awakens marked by the increasing investment flow in early 2021. It was stated in the 56th virtual Dies Natalis of Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, on Tuesday, January 5. The president added the recovery of domestic economic activities and investment flow will open many job opportunities and develop the country's growth amid the very tight global competition. The president stated that 2021 is a year of hope. The government tries optimally to solve health issues because of COVID-19 pandemic. The health handling effort includes COVID-19 vaccination in the near future. However, all people should keep following health protocols in a disciplined way. According to the president, the opportunity to awake and recover in 2021 needs readiness, particularly in the development of high-quality talents with national characters in a strong, innovative, and competitive manner. Meanwhile, on another occasion, the coordinating economic minister, Airlangga Hartarto, also showed optimism that Indonesia's economy in 2021 will grow by 5% as targeted. Airlangga said some international institutions also predicted that Indonesia will be in the positive zone this year. World Bank predicted a growth of 4.4%. IMF predicted a growth of 6.1% and ADB predicted a growth of 5.3%. Airlangga said the first indicator is the people who start to be confident in consumption as the purchasing power grows, which contributed by about 58% to gross domestic product. Moreover, public confidence in consumption will be more encouraged by the government's plan to do vaccination starting from the mid-January 2021 to the first quarter of 2022. The next indicator is that in early January, the Indonesian Composite Index is back to the level of about 6,100 and rupiah strengthens to the level 13,890 rupiah per US dollar on January 4, 2021. It increases positive optimism. According to Airlangga, Indonesia's Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, has reached 51.3 and continues to show consistency. In addition, containers, which start to be hard to get, shows increasing Indonesia's export too, so that it is a good sign for the national economy. Another indicator is the rising prices of Indonesia's top commodities such as palm oil, nickel, copper, charcoal, and gold. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Jalin asmara yang ada antara diriku dengan cinta menjadi teman baikku kemudikan bahagia ataupun tempat berlindung bersama air mata.
penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhengque pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, I will introduce you to roti sama honey or sama honey bread, a typical food of Aceh. When you travel to Nanggro, Aceh Darussalam province, try to enjoy various kinds of Aceh food. One of them is roti sama honey. Roti sama honey or sama honey bread is a type of jam bread that has a simple look. The shape is like a sandwich, but it is smaller. The texture is so soft with thick yellow srikaya jam. The taste of the jam is so sweet. Listener, the name sama honey is taken from the name of the area where the jam bread comes from. Sama honey is the name of an area in Kuta Alam Sub-District, Aceh Besar Jansi. The trade center of the jam bread is at Samahani Market, precisely in the Banda Aceh Medan route. It's easier to find Samahani jam bakers in the area. The delicacy of Samahani jam bread is in the jam. The main ingredient for this jam is a mixture of egg yolk, coconut milk, flour, and sugar. The interesting thing about this jam bread is the principle of its maker, who does not use preservatives in the jam. Therefore, sama honey jam bread can only last in days. Sama honey jam bread is served in layered pieces. One layer of bread is about a handful. It is not difficult to find this type of bread in the cities of Aceh province. The price of the bread varies. If you buy it at a place that specially sells the bread, one bar with 5 layers of bread is worth 8,000 rupiahs. However, at coffee shops, one layer of bread costs only 2,000 rupiahs. Sama honey bread is usually eaten in the morning and the afternoon, accompanied by a glass of Acehnes Robusta coffee. Well, listener, I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Bila waktu bisa kembali, tapi waktu tak berhenti. Seharusnya kita berdiri, hadapi seadanya. Coba berpikir dan pahami.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, seawater pollution is a problem around the world, including in Indonesia. Plastic waste that has accumulated has brought about a negative impact on the tourism sector. The accumulation of garbage and heavy metals in coastal areas has resulted in a decrease in the quality of marine life. Through the problem, two students of the Faculty of Fisheries and Marine Affairs, Erlangga University, namely Yolanda Sepiani Nurhanifah and Reza Istiqomatul Hidayah, created innovation of a sea cleanliness detection tool based on the Internet of Things, or IoT, and automatic alarms as controllers of water environment sustainability, abbreviations as Atlantis. Duplantis concept released on the internet. The way it works is to use a digital camera to visualize the state of the sea, then records and sends a signal to the microcontrollers, which is connected to the display on LCD screen. This camera is connected to a computer to detect plastic and heavy metal waste contained in the water. Simultaneously, when the LCD screen displays data on seawater conditions, there is an automatic alarm that will sound and light up according to the level. Green alarms indicate normal water conditions, yellow for alert and red for hazard. The alarm will sound every 30 days to monitor the condition of sea waters. This innovative idea succeeded in winning first place in the national level for the product innovation competition category for the 2020 Student Innovation and Creativity Festival at Khairun Ternate University. That was Miscellany.
are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from West Java entitled Wayahna. This song tells about an old man who can only prepare basic food such as jengkol, salted vegetable, and salted fish every day due to economic difficulties. This song with simple lyrics was created by a Sundanese musician, Yana Kermit. Almost in every song, he writes about the daily life of the Sundanese people. The song, which was popularized in the 90s by an Indonesian singer named Iko, has succeeded in attracting the hearts of the Sundanese people. So, today, there are several versions of the song that are sung again and rearranged by Sundanese musicians like Miss Chuneng, who is famous as a wedding singer with a funny style. Wayahna itself is a word in Sundanese language which means accepting situations in uncomfortable situation. Here is Miss Chuneng with Sundanese song entitled Wayahna in electronic dance music version. Enjoy the song.
Aduh, kacau, aduh, 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 a wayah na asing day, wayah na tumis day, tumis day, wayah na dengan sang usap pemoy, isu isu cengkol berasi arit peting tumis, aduh tumis ini wayah na tempe day, tempe day, wayah na tahu day, tahu day, wayah na endog day. Wayahna dengan sang usap popoy, isuk isuk tempe bertahu arit peting, endoh aduh aduh mad yang lajen bau di asinan jen bau, aduh di pendogan jen bisu, aduh komo tumis masih nyeri betul, aduh mad hayang sih batur kamo ma meser jupa jupa meser pizza suki tema, aduh
dalahar sayangna wayangna jeung ulu panah negara mana cocok ba
bencana di mana-mana
angkuran urang doa sumarah kanu kawasa
wayah na urang deui urang deui wayah na kangkeung deui wayah na waluh deui waluh deui wayah na dengan sang usap popoy isuk isuk urang berang akangku ari peuting waluh wayah
aduh sieun kumaha sih nyeri beuteung atuh mah mah hayu ka emak mah urang jajan suki emak pizza emak atuh mah atuh entong jengkol deui wae emak hayang jupa jupa emak
Voice of Indonesia.
bersama bagai syair lagu tak
pergi, kau dan aku tak bisa bersama. Bagai syair lagu tak berirama. Selamat tinggal kenangan denganmu. Senyumku melepaskan kau pergi. Kau dan aku tak bisa bersama. Bagai syair lagu tak berirama. Selamat tinggal kenangan denganku. Senyumku melepaskan kau pergi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.